7:30.
Chris Sports. Chris takes a look now at the sports sections of today's newspapers. The sports data, sports stats you get only from the newspaper. Now, Chris Sports.
Hello, everybody. Today is Friday, March 22nd. I'm Bill Murphy here with Chris Sports and a lot of college basketball. We'll start with the UConn men. UConn's bus ride from Storrs to Brooklyn was normal on Wednesday evening, just like any other trip. Conversation happened here and there, but some players went to sleep. Others watched the first four games to get a taste of the moment before their tournament run begins. When the pressure of being the number one overall seed, the popular pick to win the whole thing, the Huskies have been able to stay calm and confident. We've done a great job of just blocking out all the noise just because we've had a target on our back since June, redshirt sophomore Alex Carabon said Thursday before the Huskies meet 16 seed Stetson on Friday. Ever since we won it last year, everyone's just been wanting to beat us and everyone's been talking about us repeating. But we've really blocked it out this entire year and we're just excited to go on this journey with a new team. The NCAA tournament history number one seeds are 150-2 all-time against number 16 seeds. Both of those major upsets came in the last 6 years. UMBC broke the seal by taking down Virginia in 2018, and Fairleigh Dickinson shocked the world when it knocked out Purdue last year. Stetson coach Donnie Jones, who won back-to-back titles as an assistant at Florida in 2006 and 2007, and has the Hatters in the NCAA tournament for the first time, motivated his team with the story of Roger Bannister. In May 1954, at Oxford University in England, Bannister became the first person to run a sub-4-minute mile. At 25 years old, finishing the race in 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds, he accomplished what was thought to be impossible. But his record was broken just 46 days later, and a year later, three runners broke the 4-minute barrier in the same race. Nobody could break it for a long time, but once he broke it, the next week, 10 guys broke it, Jones said. So a lot of it is mentality and understanding. You've got to have a belief in who you are. On the other side, the Huskies, 26.5-point favorites, know that as long as they remain in the moment, getting over the first-round hump should be no issue. UConn has advanced to the second weekend in all five of its tournament appearances as a number one seed, including two trips to the Final Four. "We're ready to go," said fifth-year guard Cam Spencer, who will make his tournament debut against the Hatters on Friday. "We're focused on doing the thing that got us here, taking it one game at a time. We're all just pretty locked in right now. We don't look at it as pressure," added senior Hassan Diarra. "We're not really focused on what the outside noise is. We're just focused on taking this one game at a time and doing what we need to do to win one game. It's respect for your opponent, always. Great respect for the opponent, but we understand that if we do what we need to do, we'll be able to handle business." Just a week ago, UConn made a similar trip to the Big Apple, this time stopping in Manhattan, where it was the heavy favorite to win the Big East tournament after a record-setting regular season. The Huskies handled business. "When you play at a place with the history and the standards and all the success, I think every game you play at UConn is pressurized," Coach Dan Hurley said. "So I think when you get to these moments, Big East tournament, MSG, NCAA tournament, lights are super bright. We're used to playing with a big target. We're used to playing with pressure, so we perform well under pressure." The Huskies are making their fourth consecutive tournament appearance in year six under Hurley since being knocked out in the first round for the second straight year in 2022. The program holds an overall record of 62-11. UConn, averaging 18.5 assists per game, is 54 assists shy of the program's single-season record of 684 which was set last season. All five starters average at least 10.8 points per game. Everybody knows their role. Everybody knows what each other is capable of, so nobody is going to go out there and try to score 30. They are going to stick to the script and play defense, get rebounds, and move the ball. Nobody is selfish, and everybody just follows what coach says and does what they can to win the game, said point guard Tristan Newton, who was named the first-team All-American by the Associated Press and the NABC this week. And let's see, we have some other stories here. Let me go to this one. When the Hatters heard their name called during the NCAA selection show, the packed room where they had been watching erupted. In the moment, finding out they had an opportunity to play UConn, the number one overall seed and reigning national champion, was surreal, senior guard Alec Oglesby said. UConn has all the pressure in the world, and obviously it's our first time there, point guard Stefan Swenson said. It's a great opportunity for us to just play with teammates and enjoy the moment to the fullest and just make the best out of it. Stetson, 22-12, won the Atlantic Sun Tournament to earn an automatic bid, its first in 53 years, as a Division I program. The Hatters beat Austin Peay in the A-Sun Championship game 94-91, behind 43 points from guard Jalen Blackman, who scored 34 in the second half alone. It's exciting. We're playing the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. If you could have told me at the beginning of the year that you're going to the NCAA tournament and you're going to play UConn, I think we'd be pretty excited, Coach Jones said. So I think the opportunity, the stage is everything. It's not the NBA where you have to win four games in seven. You have to win it in 40 minutes. UConn begins its bid for back-to-back titles on Friday against a Setsum team led by Coach Donnie Jones, a man who's been there, done that. Jones was an assistant on Billy Donovan's Florida staff when the Gators won the consecutive titles in 2006 and 2007. No team has done it since. UConn's equipped, there is no question, Jones said Thursday. They've got depth, they've got experience, they've got coaching. Ban has done a great job. They've got tradition, they've played as an incredible schedule and been consistent all year long. To do it back-to-back is very hard to do. There's only been a few teams to do that in 50 years. That group we had at Florida, to be able to do that, we had a unique brotherhood and closeness. I look at Dan's roster. He's got five guys averaging double figures. His team is good like our team was. We had five guys that averaged double figures back-to-back year, the same guys, so it's not just one or two guys that carry that team. They have a lot of different weapons, and I think with that, it gives them the possibility to do that. Of course, Jones would prefer to knock the Huskies out on Friday and become just the third 16 seed to pull off a first-round upset. UMBC was the first program to do it, knocking out number one seed Virginia in 2018, and as I said before, Fairleigh Dickinson famously knocked out Purdue last season. Setson, the Atlantic Sun Tournament champ, is making its first ever NCAA tournament appearance. The Hatters finished the regular season 23-12, their most notable win coming on the road at UCF in November, less than 2 weeks after seeing how they matched up against Houston in a 79-48 loss, another one seed in this tournament. They beat Austin Peay 94-91, to win the conference championship. Guard Jalen Blackman, averaging 21.5 points per game, is only 12 points away from the school's single-season scoring record and already holds its record for three-pointers in a season, 109. Hurley gave Blackman high praise after the matchup was revealed, calling him one of the better guards we'll have played against this year. Belgian point guard Stefan Swenson, a senior, is the program's all-time assist leader with 602 in his career and averaging 5.9 per game this year. He set the single-season mark 201. The Hatters are bolstered inside by 6'11 center Aubin Gatorsy, also from Belgium, who averages 11.8 points and 7.6 rebounds per game. They entered the tournament 34th in the nation in three-pointers per game, 9.1, and 28th in three-point percentage actually 37%. I think in every game you play, whether they are early season, November, if we get away from our identity, we have issues, Hurley said. What keeps us bulletproof, though, is we're number one in the country in offensive efficiency. Top 10 in defense. We generally rebound the ball as good as anyone in the country. We play harder than our opponent. We are elite with our preparation, and we don't care who the hero is on a given night. That's a formula that will keep you bulletproof in a lot of games and make it really hard for somebody to get you. We stick to that script. We can come in here with confidence, but we respect Stetson. We respect everyone that was that we play, because you know that we know the tournament is all about. UConn is 19-4 in the NCAA tournament, first round game since seeding began in 1979. It is the program's sixth time entering the tournament as a one seed, including 1999 when the program won its first national championship and 2009 when it suffered its only Final Four loss. And just other notes here, the site is the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The time will be 2:45 p.m. It will be on CBS, Ian Eagle, Bill Rafferty, and Grant Hill, and Tracy Wolfson. It will be on Channel 3. And that's all that we have here, except the record that I guess I mentioned before is UConn 31-3, and Stetson is 22-12. And before I give you some of the scores of yesterday's games, whatever I have here, let me read about the women. Growing up in Noblesville, Indiana, Ashlyn Shade's family would drag televisions out of every corner of the house when March Madness started. Any screen they could find ended up in the basement, where they all gathered to consume as many NCAA tournament games simultaneously as they possibly could. Mal Shade will be on the other side of the screen when she takes the court with the UConn women's basketball team against 14th seed Jackson State in the first round of the tournament. That's going to be on Saturday, 1 p.m. on ABC. It'll be at Gamble Pavilion. Even after winning her first Big East championship with the Huskies last week, it still feels like a dream at times to the conference freshman of the year. I really remember watching them, especially during Brianna Stewart's time in that four-year stretch, when they won every single year, Shade said. I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, that could be me someday. So it's just super surreal to be in this moment right now. It just feels like the tournament has restarted all the newness. It feels like a fresh season is about to start, and I can't even remember half of the games we played. K.K. Arnold, UConn's other freshman starter, said she's looking forward to filling out a bracket every March for as long as she can remember, like millions of others around the country. While NCAA rules prevent athletes from participating in one of the biggest sports gambling events in the world, there's still plenty of anticipation for Arnold as she prepares to compete in the tournament for the first time. Most of the time, on the men's side, my bracket failed. On the other women's side, I came close a couple of times, Arnold said with a grin. But I'm very excited. The upperclassmen have been just saying the same mentality, take one game at a time. But, of course, this is a bigger deal. It's one game elimination, so you just have to play your best and play with your all every single night. Arnold said, and Shade helped keep UConn's season alive in 2023-24 amid five season-ending injuries on the roster. The rookie duo won a combined 11 Big East Freshman Side of the Week awards across their 28 starts. Shade is the Huskies' number three scorer, behind All-American Paige Beckers and Aliyah Edwards, averaging 11 points plus 3.2 rebounds. Arnold leads the team in steals with 2.3 per game, also recording 9 points, 3.1 rebounds, and 3.2 assists. Junior reserve Amari DeBerry was ruled out with a concussion suffered in the final week of the regular season, so UConn will have a maximum of 8 healthy players for the NCAA tournament. The Huskies played most of the conference tournament with 7 after Edwards broke her nose in the quarterfinals, but Arnold and Shade, along with redshirt freshman Ice Brady, helped keep the team aloft behind Beckers. And we're going to go to the weather with Keith Sullivan. I'll be back with more sports after that.
Find out what's on sale during the Shopper's Guide, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Chris.
Thanks, Bill. There is a winter weather advisory in effect from 2 o'clock tomorrow morning through midnight tomorrow night. There is a flood watch in effect also from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow. The forecast for today calls for sunny skies, highs in the low 40s. Chance of snow and rain likely this evening, mostly cloudy, lows in the 30s. For Sunday, rain likely, could be heavy at times. Highs in the, highs near 50. Saturday night, rain likely, heavy at times. Lows around 30. Sunday, sunny, highs in the 40s. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows near 30. We return now to Chris Sports with Bill Murphy. Bill?
Thank you, Keith. More on UConn women's basketball with the first round of the women's NCAA tournament set to tip off Friday. Gatorade has tapped UConn superstar Paige Beckers and Iowa's Caitlin Clark to headline a campaign promoting participation in sports for young girls titled You Can Too. Beckers' contribution to the campaign is the Paige Manifesto, a short film that she co-produced, chronicling her recovery from a season-ending ACL tear in August 2022 to return to the court this season. Gatorade will also make two $25,000 donations on her behalf, one to Laureus USA, which works to use sports as a vehicle for social change, and one to the Paige Beckers Foundation, which Beckers established in 2022 via an NIL partnership with Cash App. The film premiered on Gatorade's social media channels on Wednesday. It was always my dream to work with Gatorade, and the reality has been even better than I imagined because together we are elevating women and our stories, Becker said in a release. This manifesto and the donations to Laureus USA and the Paige Beckers Foundation are just the next chapter in that partnership. I hope this film inspires people and shows that no matter the obstacles you face, you can shine. Gatorade will release a custom water bottle and towel co-designed by Clark in conjunction with Becker's short film, also making two $25,000 donations in her name to the Caitlin Clark Foundation and Women's Sports Foundation. The campaign culminates with the company's Equity in Sport event at the Women's Final Four in Cleveland, where Gatorade will surprise a local organization with $50,000 in equipment. Beckers became Gatorade's first collegiate NIL deal signee at the start of her sophomore season in November 2021, previously working with the company to release a custom water bottle. Clark joined a star-studded Gatorade roster in December that also includes Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders and Penn State running back Nick Singleton. The partnership isn't the first time Beckers and Clark have worked together. The pair won gold medals together playing for USA basketball in both the 2017 FIBA Americas Under-16 Championship and the 2019 FIBA Under-19 World Cup. More on the UConn women's basketball team. Star senior Alaya Edwards announced that the 2023-24 season will be her last with the UConn women's basketball team, declaring for this year's WNBA draft in a video posted to social media on Thursday. Edwards was named a second-team USBWA All-American and earned an honorable mention nod from the Associated Press this week amid her best season as a Husky. The 6'3" forward is averaging 17.8 points and 9.3 rebounds per game, shooting 59.4% from the field, all career highs. She is a finalist for the Katrina McLean Award for the nation's top power forward and one of 15 players selected for the Wooden Awards national ballot. I have absolutely no regrets committing to this program and this legacy. It's been the best decision ever, Edwards said in the video. We've achieved a ton, but hey, there's still one big goal waiting for us. We're not done yet.
although I've got to savor every moment because this is my last jam at UConn, I'm all in and ready to bring that championship glory back to Storrs with my squad by my side. Let's have one last dance. Let me just give you some of the scores yesterday from the men. As his players celebrated around him after springing the first big upset of the NC tournament, Duquesne coach Keith Dambrot joked that they had refused to let their retiring coach reach the promised land with their down-to-the-wire win over EYU. Let's say I have the score here. And they won 71-67. Other games here. Jermaine Cousteart scored a career-high 40 points to haunt South Carolina, his former school, while leading Oregon to an 87-73 victory in the first round of the NCAA tournament's Midwest region on Thursday in Pittsburgh. In the East region, Illinois 85, Morehead State 69. In the West region, UNC 90, Wagner 62, Arizona 85, Long Beach State 65. Michigan State 69, Mississippi State 51, and Dayton 63, Nevada 60. And I think I have one more. It's on the front page of the sports here. Creighton leaned on experience from last trip through March to make sure this one didn't start with a stumble. Ryan Kalkbrenner scored 23 points, and Trey Alexander had 19 as the Blue Jays, who came within 7 seconds of making the Final Four a year ago, opened the NCAA tournament with a 77-60 win over Akron in the Midwest region on Thursday. Now we're going to go to baseball for the rest of the broadcast. Bryce Harper hit the ball hard up the middle, surely a base hit into center field, but watching from the top step of the dugout during a spring training game earlier this month, Red Sox manager Alex Cora wasn't concerned. "He's got this," Cora said to himself. Trevor Story ranged to his left from shortstop and stopped the ball well behind second base. He spun and in one smooth motion unleashed a perfect throw to first base to get Harper by a step. As Cora recounted the play after the game, it was part of a larger point he was making about how many ways he expects Story to have an impact on the Sox this season. "I think we're going to see the real Trevor in Boston this year," Cora said. That was the player the Sox thought they signed to a 6-year, $140 million contract during spring training in 2022. But the last 2 seasons have been the worst of Story's career by any statistical measure. A series of injuries, including a torn right elbow ligament that required surgery, caused Story to miss 187 games. He hit 227 with a paltry 685 OPS as a member of the Sox with only 19 home runs in 515 at-bats. "It's been mentally draining," said Story, who is 31. It goes back to the start of the tenure with the Sox in a free agent market crowded with star shortstops and then delayed by a lockout as players and owners fought over a new collective bargaining agreement. Story didn't sign with the Sox till March 23rd, and it was to play second base, an unfamiliar position. Story had only a few days with his new team before returning home for the birth of his first child. He then got off to a slow start at the plate for what proved to be a last-place team. Xander Bogaerts left the Red Sox for the Padres after the season. Story started working out at shortstop and ruptured his elbow. He didn't return until August 8th and had a 5.66 OPS over 43 games. "It's been tough for a few years," Story said. "Whether it's the surgery or the lockout, it wasn't just a normal season. That's not an excuse because things happen, but this is the first year in a while. It's been a normal offseason that rolls right into spring training. I feel like myself, finally." Before I give you a couple of notes on the Yankees, I'm going to give you the score of yesterday's game that was in Seoul, South Korea, between the Dodgers and the Padres. After chasing Shotsunobu Yamamoto from his major league debut after one inning and scoring their most runs ever against the Los Angeles Dodgers, San Diego's Xander Bogaerts was sad to leave the Gocheck Sky Dome. We got to come here more," he said. Jake Cronenworth tied a career high with 4 hits, had 4 RBIs as the Padres outlasted the Dodgers 15-11 on Thursday night after Los Angeles fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter following allegations of illegal gambling. And just a couple of things here on the Yankees and the Mets. Aaron Judge had an RBI double in his first at-bat in Wednesday night's game against Pittsburgh after sitting out 9 days with an abdominal injury. And fellow New York Yankees slugger Giancarlo Stanton hit 3 home runs with 8 RBIs in a 12-0 win over the Pirates. Judge hadn't played since March 10th when he struck out in both at-bats against Atlanta. He hit a 106.4 mile-per-hour liner to right center in the first inning that drove in Juan Soto. Judge scored when Stanton hit a 455-foot homer that cleared the batter's eye in a straightaway center field, the first of his 3 home runs against left-hander Marco Gonzalez. And quickly on the Mets, Kodai Senga has been cleared for takeoff, sort of. The Mets ace underwent imaging on his injured shoulder Tuesday and received medical clearance to resume throwing. However, the Mets are exercising caution and need to see the right-hander pass their own internal test before they allow him to begin a throwing program. The results were very, very encouraging. Manager Carlos Mendoza said Thursday at Publix Field at Joker Martin Stadium, "The inflammation is gone, so he's pretty much cleared. Now it's up to our internal testing to make sure he passes all the power tests and shoulder strength and things like that before he starts a throwing program, which should happen within the next week." And I do not have time to give you all the tournaments. There's so many of them. I'm just going down here to see some of the games that would be highlighted at 2 p.m. The NCAA tournament, Western Kentucky versus Marquette. That's on TBS. Of course, Stetson, 2:45 p.m. Against UConn. First round, that's on CBS. And I'm just, Yale is going to be playing Auburn in the first round. That's on TNT. That's going to be at 4:15. And let's see what else I have here. Just so many games. Most of them, they're all on TNT, TBS, or CBS. And they start at 12:15 noon and go right up through the evening. 10:05 p.m. is the last game. NCAA tournament, Grand Canyon at St. Mary's, California. That's the first round on True TV. And I'm just looking at the women here. They start their tournament today, 11:30 a.m. The first tournament game is Michigan State versus North Carolina. The first round, ESPN2. And again, there are other games that go all the way up to 10:30 p.m. The last game tonight is Texas A&M versus Nebraska. That's the first round on ESPNU. So all the women's games are on ESPN or ESPNU. Now, in the NBA today, Boston at Detroit on the NBC Network, 7 p.m. 8 p.m. Cleveland at Minnesota on the NBA TV. 10:30 p.m. Philadelphia at the L.A. Lakers. That is on the NBA TV network. In golf, 2 events. PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship second round. That's on the Golf Channel. 6 p.m. LPGA Tour, the Fir Hills Sari Pack Championship second round. That is on the Golf Channel. And there is one NHL game, Carolina at Washington. That's a 7 p.m. game. That is on the NHL network. And let me just see one more story. A lawsuit accusing the NFL's disability plan of violating its duty to retired players by routinely denying valid injury claims can proceed to trial on most counts, the federal judge in Maryland has ruled. The lawsuit filed last year accuses officials who oversee the program of bad faith and flagrant violations of federal law. U.S. District Judge Julie E. Rubin said the suit can move forward against the board but not against Commissioner Roger Goodell or trustees individually, as they were not accused of wrongdoing. That's it for the sports today. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to stay tuned for the Business Hour, that's coming up right after this broadcast. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody, and please stay safe.